CliffCentral.com.
All right, good morning, everybody. Made it through the weekend, the long weekend. This morning, it is Tuesday, so you don't need to check. You can just listen to me. I won't bullshit you, I promise. Here we are, we're live. Tuesday, the 6th of April. And Easter weekend done and dusted. I checked the calendar, right? We've got the 27th of April, which is like it's in the middle of the week. So that's gonna really screw with your calendar. Yeah, 27th of April is like a Tuesday, which means there's going to be the week where you have to do the Monday, but then you get the Tuesday off, so you can't really have a long weekend. And the bad news is Wekas Day, the 1st of May, is on a Saturday, so you don't get any bonus there at all. Isn't that terrible? Don't you think that's awful, Sia?
Yeah, you can't celebrate the day before.
No. It's very unfair, right? So what do you do?
Okay.
I know.
I don't know what the workers do on that day.
What do the workers do? What will the workers do is what the question is. How was your long weekend? How did you get on? Have fun?
Oh, I was longing and I was weekending.
Nice.
It was a real good one.
Spent some time with the family?
A lot of time. I'm back in Durban now. So I'm going to spend a couple of days here. And it's always fun to be around family in a time like this, and especially, you know, now I'm living through my nieces and my nephew, basically.
Yeah.
And they get excited about everything. And, you know, everything is an occasion to them. So they get the Easter eggs and they get this.
Oh, yeah.
And then they get the sugar high. And
even
just remembered how much I miss the small things, like seeing them yesterday when they were packing for school today. And I'm like, oh, right, you have homework and stuff to do.
That's cute, man.
So, yeah.
It's very sweet. Hey, Leanne Moll. Is she there? Can she hear us? Leanne Moll. Come in, Leanne Moll. Testing. One, two, three. Delta Bravo. There she is. Hello, ass. How are you?
Come on, asseblief.
Yeah.
I am here.
Good.
I have very slow Wi-Fi. Break my teeth.
Sure.
You know, frustrations.
No. Well, it doesn't sound like the kind of thing you should do to start your Tuesday morning. I mean, what would you look like without teeth? A meth addict.
Yeah, no, like now there's a delay.
No, I'm sorry. That's so irritating.
Oh, sure.
Yes, that's the only thing differentiating me between me and a meth addict.
Sorry. Don't go down that
road. I shouldn't have even brought that up. What a horrible thing to start your day with. Poor Leanne. She's having internet issues and then she has to be called a meth addict by me. What a cruel world. What a horrible, horrible place for her to find herself.
How was your weekend?
I had a very good weekend while Leanne sorts out her connection. I had a really nice weekend. I flew down to Durban on Thursday after the show. And I was in Umhlanga. I hate when people say Umhlanga. I was in Umhlanga for like 3 nights and I had such a good time. I was just relaxed. I went down to the beach on the Friday, the holiday, Good Friday. And I was in the sea for, you know, when I go to the beach, I don't sit and lie in the sun. Though I did do that. And I was in the sea, which is my favorite thing in the world. I think it's like the best therapy that there is. Because you come out of that salt water and you just feel invigorated and full of life. And I mean, if you get in properly, it can clean out your whole like body. You know, that's why it's a kind of muti, I suppose. That's why people collect seawater, and you know, it's an emetic, so you don't want to drink too much of it. But if it goes into the nose and the mouth, it can clear out everything. I mean, it just feels, you feel healthier when you get out of the sea. And I got a real like sunburn, which is also nice because I know that's very unhealthy.
Oh, yeah.
People are going to call me and they're going to say, oh, you must be careful of skin cancer and you must put on sunblock. And I don't know. I kind of needed it. I feel like last year I didn't really, you know, do any of the outdoor things that I wanted to do. So this felt very good. It felt very healthy. It felt very happy. And I saw some of my friends in Durban, which was nice. So it was really good. And then I got back on the plane on Sunday and came back for a family Easter, which was really cool. And as you say, you spend like Easter Sunday watching kids find Easter eggs, and it was really nice. It was very, very cool. Mm. Yeah.
This is your first flight in a year.
Yeah, because I drove down in September, and I did that trip to the game reserve in November. So I have driven, but this is the first flight I've taken since the weekend before lockdown, which was the last time I flew. And yeah, you know, it's as you said, Sia, it's not difficult. It's actually kind of easy to do. And it doesn't feel like an effort. It doesn't feel like it's any more complicated. Only thing you have to do is wear a mask, you know. So you wear that for the hour on the plane, and you eventually do want to burn that mask as soon as you get off the plane. But really, it's not that much of an issue. And it felt, I must tell you, in Umhlanga, and I didn't really leave there for the weekend because I didn't have a car there, and I didn't need to go outside of like, you know, walking distance. They've got that beautiful little promenade along the beach, and there's a nature reserve there, and all the shops that you could possibly want are within walking distance. And if you really need to go anywhere, you can Uber, which is what I did at night.
Right.
But it was perfect. Hello, ass. It was just perfect. It was such a nice break. Yeah, that's much better. I don't know what you did to your connection, but if you bit it and kicked it like you said you did, it's worked.
It worked. Shut up.
Yeah, I had a talking to it, yo.
Sure. It's amazing. Suddenly it's very
better
well
shape up. Yeah. Because I need a man.
I need a land.
And my heart is set on you.
Oh, my God. We're singing it this time, are we? So how was your long weekend, Ass? What did you get up to?
I did family stuff, which was lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. I had a disastrous day in the kitchen.
Why?
I promised to make a side dish and a dessert.
Yeah.
Started off the day really well. Went and got my ingredients, had my shopping lists, did all of the right things.
Yeah.
And got into the kitchen. And firstly, the dessert that I was making had 5 layers to it. Each layer needed me to use an electric beater, which I have.
Uh-huh.
For the life of me, I couldn't find the 2 whiskey things that you plug in.
Yeah.
Couldn't find those. So realized at that point that I was going to have to go to my brother's house to do this dessert.
No.
So I baked the first layer, which was actually a crumb base, and put that in the oven and let that cool, put it in the car. Started on the side dish. And do you know when you're making a white sauce or a cheese sauce or a milk sauce, it can sometimes split? You heard that?
Leanne, are you forgetting who you're talking to here? Do you think I know anything about that?
Be very aware of your audience.
I've never heard of a milk sauce in my life.
Well, no, a milk-based sauce.
Nah.
But anyway, so please, someone will know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
But when the sauce splits, it basically looks like, okay, this you guys will know because of your families, what baby sick looks like.
Oh, God.
So it kind of separates.
What? That's horrible. Why would you make such a thing?
No, man, it happened by mistake because my stove top was faulty and the temperature was going up and down.
You're faulty.
Ugh, you guys are so fucking exhausting.
We've just started. It's a new week. You've had a couple of days to get rid of us. You didn't see us on Friday and we're already exhausting you.
You've had all of just 2 minutes with us.
And did you take your?
This is all your fault. You're trying to explain food.
Did you take your medicine this morning, or did you wake up and rush to the show?
The problem is, I'm telling you a story about how irritated I was, and then you're irritating me more.
I can see it.
So I had to take half of the recipe in the car to my brothers.
With the split milk sauce.
No, I left that on the stove. There's nothing. There's no coming back from a split sauce.
Mm-hmm.
I had to go and buy more ingredients. Got to my brother's house and realized that this dessert I was making wasn't going to set in time. Opened the door and the table was set. They'd already had starters.
Oh, God. Oh no.
without you?
And I still had to make the dish that was accompanying the main.
So, let me ask you this. If Gordon Ramsay walked in on you with all of this that was going on, he would have been swearing from the moment he saw, like, you attempt to do all this. And you're not like us in the kitchen. You're quite ambitious. This dessert sounds amazing, by the way. If it had worked, it would have been great.
It's called Sex in a Pan.
See?
By the way.
Oh,
that sounds really good. Mind you, anything with sex in it at the moment sounds good, considering where we've all been for lockdown.
Gordon Ramsay would have lambasted me for not literally lambasted, because he does that too. He would have said to me, "How the F do you think you could have made this dish without having all the proper equipment?"
Yeah.
You know when a sauce splits. You know, you've been making sauce for 20 years. How can you do this? So I felt like I was in the MasterChef kitchen, and that there were people in the galley looking down on me going, "Oh, her sauce split."
How embarrassing.
That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, it was. But anyway, my brother to the rescue, and managed to salvage things. My dad kept on saying, "5 more minutes," because we kept on saying, "It'll be ready in 5 more minutes."
Oh, no.
So, yeah.
All that pressure, you see.
Yeah, it was a lot of pressure.
This is not something I understand, because whenever I cook something, I say that in inverted commas, cook. I mean, like, the little bits that I can do, it's never become that complicated that I needed to know this shit. And I admire people who can do this. I mean, it's like I admire a really good meal. So I went out on Friday night for a supper at a restaurant that I really enjoy. And it was just kind of average, which was upsetting to me as a non-foodie, because in my head I'd built up how nice this meal was going to be. And when I got there, it was just kind of average. It was, you know, so I do appreciate these things. I'm not a complete Philistine. But it's very sad when you have an idea in your head of how something's going to turn out and then it doesn't. And I get like that, especially about meat dishes, which Sia wouldn't understand at all. You know, he doesn't eat meat. And I when I order a steak and I'm like, I've got it in my head that this is going to just be the best steak ever. And if it doesn't turn out to meet my expectations, I feel so let down. It's incredible for someone who doesn't care about food.
Yeah, but you know what? You've gone to a lot of effort. You've showered, you've got dressed, you've driven your car.
You've actually cleaned yourself up. Yeah, you got dressed in clothes. Yeah, it's hard. This is tough stuff during...
You've used your petrol.
Yeah.
You've fought to find a parking.
Yeah.
You've had to see other people in order to get the steak. And you're going out in dangerous times of COVID.
Oh.
So, yeah, you deserve to have what you really wanted.
Yeah.
You know, the only part of this that resonates with me when it comes to food is my cheapskate sister. You know, she's the one who's on specific, like, Facebook.
She collects the
bargains and
specials.
Yeah,
she collects the coupons and things, right?
Yes. So she was so excited yesterday, and I was trying to understand why. And she goes, just a few more days. I'm thinking, what? Until what? She goes, up until we can buy all the Easter eggs we want, because then they'll start getting cheap and they'll halve the price. And let me tell you about all of this meat will be going on special as well. And then she names the store that'll be doing this percent off.
Man.
And that I'm like, Easter eggs are not the same a week after the fact. She goes, no, still, I'm going to go there. I'm going to buy that.
So let me tell you, I can't eat any more. I can't eat any more chocolate now if you force fed it to me. Mm-mm. Because, first of all, I saw that the kids got so spoiled. So we went to family friends on Sunday, and I kind of landed at the airport and went straight there. And the kids were busy with their Easter egg hunt, and they came back with a bag each with so much chocolate in it. Mm. And, you know, when you're a kid, you think you can keep that chocolate forever. And I mean, it starts to melt and it's just a disaster, right? But I walked in and one of the little girls, I said to her, how many eggs have you got? And she went, 100. She was so excited about how many eggs that she was beside herself. And, you know, then there are eggs on the table, and people were just eating chocolate. Eventually on Sunday night, I like went to sleep and I felt like the fattest person in the universe. Horrible.
Too much, right?
Yeah, it was a big eating weekend. I actually, at one point, out of like habit, because it was there, not habit, but it was just there.
Hmm.
I took a block of chocolate from all the chocolate that had been handed over. And I put it in my mouth, and I just didn't feel like it, so I just spat it out.
Oh.
You realized too late.
I was like, I don't know why I put that in my mouth. Yeah. I really don't want it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Well, we had it this family day. It was really cute because, you know, my parents have been friends with these people. They're our oldest family friends. They kind of are like family. And then my brother and their son's kids are now friends as well. So we're three generations of the family. You know, like the old people were sitting at this table. We were all sitting at another table. And then the children were playing together around the pool. And I was like, this is quite special. Three generations of kind of family spending time with each other and having the most fun. I mean, we laughed until we couldn't stop. I mean, until we stopped. We laughed until we stopped. It ended at like 4:30 in the afternoon when we just had to go home because it had been eating nonstop. And, you know, it's special, I suppose, at this time. And it's really not about how much chocolate you got to eat or how much of anything there was. And funny enough, I don't think any of us were drinking. Like, I think everybody was... Which is very strange because usually at these sorts of events you'd expect people to be drinking. But it's really cool that if nothing else this last year has brought us, it's kind of realigned the priorities. And we all three spent more time with our families during lockdown than we have in any previous year. I think that's true for me, Sia, and Leanne. And if it's true for you as well, then something good came out of it. So let's be happy about that. I mean, there's so many things that we can moan about, but that's one of the things we should be pleased, you know, about when we come to the tabulation of pluses and minuses for the year.
Yeah, it was a video that I watched a few months ago. And yes, it was a little too extreme maybe, but it also just hit home with me in a way something hasn't in a while. But it was a gentleman who was speaking about if you think of life in reverse, you feel the urgency of things more than thinking of it as, oh yeah, I have, you know, 20 years to do X, but think of it backwards. And here's the example he used that really got me. He said, he was asking someone, how old are your parents? And this gentleman responded, said like they're 76 and 74 years old. And then he says, let's just say they live up until they're 80. So on average, about 5 more years. How often do you see them? And this gentleman says, I see them twice a year. So he says, don't think of it as 5 more years. Think of it as you're going to see your parents 10 more times.
Sure.
Now, I'm a hardcore bad man, but I want to say more times.
Yeah.
So now, even I'm thinking of just going and driving by my grand's house, just go, hey.
Yeah. That's so important.
Nine more left.
And I don't
just
want
nine more times.
You're exactly right. I certainly don't want to. I don't want to bring anybody down or make anybody feel shitty. But like a friend of mine did lose his dad in January, and we were all together 2 weekends ago, and he's in the greatest mood now because I think he's just starting to come through all that raw emotion, and he's being very funny because he just doesn't give a shit anymore. Like, you know, once something like that has happened, you kind of tend to not worry about the small things so much. And so he is hilarious to be around because he's being very, very funny. The fact is, though, he said, just spend as much time with the people you love as possible, because you can never get that back. And it's so true. And if we've had that opportunity during this situation that we're all in, then that's been good. That's a good reason to, you know, to be grateful. And Sia's right. Like, count the number of times. I feel sorry for people whose kids live overseas. who you know, who emigrated, so that the family's not together. And if you're old, and by old, you know, that's in your head, but anywhere from, you know, 60 to 90, if you feel like you are old and your kids are younger than you and they're overseas and you miss them, then I think that must be one of the toughest things to do, because you can't just hop in the car or, you know, get on the Gau train or book a flight for an hour. You can't see them. Yeah. It's very, very difficult to do that. So, you know, just a word to those people who are missing that.
Yeah. I'm glad that you said if your children, you know, you've got children and they're younger than you.
Yeah, it's very,
I'm glad you clarified that part.
Because, you know, it's worse. The worst thing, if your children are older than you, it's always very difficult for the rest of the family to figure that out. Yeah.
Well, don't you hate that?
I mean, if they're significantly younger, or grandchildren for that matter. So Eleutheria says, are those the same children that flooded the bathroom a few weeks ago? Exactly the same children. Yes. That's them. Pichleng says, ha, 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 ach, shame, Leanne, with your cooking episode. And then Tracy says she spent a few days in the Karoo.
Someone who can maybe identify.
Yeah, and Pichleng at least understands you. Tracy says, I spent a few days in the Karoo. Man, oh man, that place feeds and energizes the soul. So much history there. If you ever need a proper break from it all, Prince Albert, been going there for 25 years. I've never been to those parts of the Karoo. The furthest I've been is the Southern Free State and, like, you know, Robertson, Malmesbury, but I've never been into the Karoo properly, which is embarrassing because I really should have by now. It's terrible. It's very lazy.
Well, you know, obviously I lived in McGregor for a year, but I also used to visit Prince Albert. And the first time I went and got to our little cottage and opened the doors, I actually wept. It was just so...
Wow.
There's a feeling about it.
But you used to cry if the traffic lights were red some mornings.
These were happy tears.
Let's just understand.
Yeah, we're just going to put things into Leanne's
Leanne.
Yeah.
So, no, it was just so beautiful. And, you know, when you can hear nothing except an old windmill creaking over slowly, and the biggest decision you have to make is whether you want to drink red or white wine.
Oh, nice.
While you sit on the patio and have a long bath later in this beautiful bathroom. Oh, it's just brilliant for the soul.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's a little unnerving to me.
No, see.
It is for some, it can be. It's so eerily quiet.
A lot of things are nerve-wracking to you, Sia. That would not surprise me. All right, so I want to read you a story quickly because this is a very short story that was in the newspaper in, I think, Ireland. A group of tourists spent hours on Saturday night looking for a missing woman near Iceland's Eldgja Canyon, only to find her among the search party. The group was traveling through Iceland on a tour bus, and they stopped near a volcano. No, listen to this. This is amazing. They were on a tour bus, and they stopped near a volcanic canyon. Soon there was word that there was a missing passenger. The woman, who had changed outfits, didn't recognize the description of herself and joined in the search. It was called off at 3 a.m. when it became clear the missing woman was in fact accounted for and searching for herself.
No, but please tell me, were they not screaming the woman's name?
No.
Was she going, Leanne, Leanne?
No.
Yeah.
They only had a description of her clothes, and she changed outfits, so she didn't click. She was like, oh shit, we better look for this woman with a red shirt and the white pants, and they couldn't find her. I mean, it just shows you how, like, some people are really not paying attention, and we've discussed this a number of times. It's like, you could walk around and you could be doing things around the house, and you'll suddenly realize, like, there's just some people they will stand in your way, they will, you know, in traffic, they'll be driving really slowly in the fast lane, not really paying attention to anything around them. People go into almost like a daze, and they don't seem to care if the world starts spinning the other way around them. They're just dumb. They're just really, really, for that moment or two, they're as stupid as can be, right?
I would like to, for their sake, think that there's something else involved. There was she drunk? Was she high on something? She is part of her very own search party.
Yeah, she's just not paying attention. And a lot of people are like that. They really don't know what's going on around them. All right. So today, today we're going to do the one thing for the week. Leanne, you don't know about this, but we, on a Tuesday morning, we do the one thing for a week, for the week where you change your behavior for just this week. And if it works for you, you stick to it. And we've done a couple of these. So today we are going to discriminate in a positive way. So discrimination is not necessarily evil, as long as you discriminate in an arbitrary manner, right? Treating people equally is a recipe for permanent boredom. And by the way, equality is completely overrated. Make everyone's life more lively today by obeying these simple rules. Only buy from women aged over 56 years old today. You're not going to buy anything from anyone, anyone male or anyone under the age of 55.
So I'm thinking cake bakes,
yeah.
Like what are they called? Home bake stores.
Dois Neverede.
Yes, Dois Neverede. Yeah. If you need a new crochet doily,
yes.
Today's the day.
Yes.
Yeah.
And only do business today with people who are taller than you. All right. You may not do.
That's
business.
Easy for me.
For you, that's easy. For me, that's a little bit harder. Yeah. And give money today to beggars with brown eyes only. Do not give any beggars with blue or green eyes money. If you give beggars money today, you're going to do that. And one last one, get away from anyone who's pregnant. Get away from them.
Oh.
Don't go near them. And don't let them near you. You want one
Some
more?
Some husbands are going to take that and run with it.
I know. They're going to, then they'll blame me. Who's that? You, Sia? Is that your alarm?
It's me. It's time to take out the rubbish on a Tuesday.
The garbage. I knew it.
Oh, and this one's a good one. Do not just refuse point blank to answer any questions from brunettes today. So we got a couple of things. So today you're going to positively
make a couple of my meetings awkward.
Positively discriminate today. Do not answer questions from brunettes. Stay away from pregnant women. Only do business with people who are taller than you. Do not buy things from any males or women under the age of 56. All right. And what was the other one that we said?
Brunettes refuse to answer.
No, we've done that.
That's all of them. So we've got them all.
That was the first. Yeah, no. You've done them all.
All right. That's enough things for us to deal with today. And just see if you can do that for one day and positively discriminate. And if anybody asks you, like, why are you being so weird? Say to them, listen, I'm sorry, I'm part of this cult, and on a Tuesday morning we do these stupid things. It's part of my religion.
Can we buy? So if we go to the shop and the tailor's young,
yeah,
that's fine, as long as we're buying a product that was made by an older person.
Or the shop is owned by someone over 55 years old and female.
So we can buy Omar Rusk's and Mrs. Ball's chutney.
Yeah, well,
that type of thing.
Yeah, you can stretch it to be, you know, that's the gray area, but I'm happy for you to break the rules a little bit. You know, use your imagination here is kind of what I'm saying. All right. Okay. We have to get the five things you need to know today. So apart from your positive discrimination, you need to know about this. Jacob Zuma has been rethinking the Constitution. Oh, really? You know why? Because he reckons the Constitution, which up to now has been fine. He didn't think while he was president or when he took over from Thabo Mbeki, now we need to change the Constitution. But now he's rethinking it. He says it subverts the will of the people. Does it subvert the will of the people, Mr. Former President, or does it get in your way when you're trying to avoid jail? Let's just be honest for a second. Oh, hang on. You can't be honest. He's now made no secret of his disdain for the country's judiciary. However, he took his discontent a step further. He had a meeting with the ANC leaders, including President Cyril Ramaphosa, and he said he doesn't know about this constitution thing. It's revealed in leaked notes on Sunday, released under Zuma's letterhead, of a meeting. So he's leaking ANC meeting stuff. Now, remember when there was a time where he said we shouldn't be leaking internal memos from the ANC? You know, this guy really, if it isn't clear to you at this point that this guy is only interested in himself, then you have not been paying attention. And I hate to break it to you, Carl Niehaus and Ace Machashule and the few people who are still his allies in politics. But if you're a member of the public, if you're a South African citizen and you still think that Jacob Zuma has your interests at heart, then I'm afraid you must have a very, very low IQ. And this, at this point, to need extra information and extra evidence of this is kind of sad. Zuma met with leaders of his party in the aftermath of the Constitutional Court's ruling that he should be jailed for 2 years after he failed to present himself to the State Capture Commission as summoned. Of course, no policeman is brave enough to arrest him. So this is not going to lead to anything. And this shows you how ruined our country is. If we had a police force that had any discipline, order, credibility, they would be finding ways to make this happen, to prove no one is above the law. Let's see if he gets arrested. If he doesn't, then you know that we're not a country of equality. We're not a country where the law applies to me and to you and to everyone else. It applies to some people and not to others. But the former president has said that the Constitution maybe should, you know, it should change. He said, these 11 judges have so many powers. He questioned the role of the Constitutional Court, asking how these people can be so important. He told officials that as things stood, the will of the people who elect officials to Parliament was being undermined by the judiciary as its decisions and actions were being arrested through the Constitution. Let's just remember this is a man who was part of the ANC's delegation to CODESA who wrote the Constitution. He didn't raise those worries and concerns then, as far as we can tell. So he is just being a self-serving, venal asshole of the worst kind. And there's no other way to put it anymore. Dubai police have arrested a group in Dubai after doing a nude photo shoot on their balcony.
Oopsie.
Well, I mean, they needed this for their Instagram and their OnlyFans. So video posted on Saturday shows a group of naked women having their photo taken on a balcony. 11 Ukrainian women were among those who were detained. The Ukrainian consulate told the BBC a Russian was also detained, according to Russian media. Public debauchery is what they call it. It carries a sentence of up to 6 months in prison and a 5,000 dirham fine. Oh, yes, very serious. Many of the UAE's laws are based on Sharia law, and people have been jailed in the past for public displays of affection and homosexual relationships. Roughly a dozen women were pictured on the balcony in the Marina district of Dubai. The Ukrainian consulate says it will visit the women on... Oh, you bet they'll visit the women. They're going to go check on them. They're going to go and make sure that they're okay, these naked women. They're going to go and visit them on Tuesday. And earlier reports in Russian media said that 8 Russian women were arrested, and that's been denied. So now that they're mostly Ukrainians. Isn't that funny?
I wonder what they would say about rural villages in Africa where women walk around topless, you know?
Yeah, it's fine in Africa, but don't go to Dubai and try that. You'll be arrested. Just be very careful. And remember, in 2017, a British woman was sentenced to 1 year in prison for having consensual sex with a man that she wasn't married to. Nobody saw it. It wasn't public indecency. But she turned out to be having sex with someone who was not her husband. And they arrested her for a year. They put her in prison. The relationship came to light when the woman reported him to authorities for sending her threatening messages. And then they said, okay, well, we'll go and look into this. But why was he sending you threatening messages? And she said, oh, well, we were having sex. And they went, what?
I can't imagine that.
They clapped her in irons. Crazy. Yeah. So listen,
Wasn't there a story as well about a couple who I think were holidaying there? They were unmarried and the lady had to go in for a checkup or something because she was pregnant. Mm. And that was almost a story. The fact that authorities understood that conceived out of wedlock, you know, living in sin.
Yeah, this will get you arrested in some places. We have lots of listeners in Dubai and in the UAE. You've got to be careful, man. If you're not married to the woman you're sleeping with, you could get locked in jail. They don't fuck around in that country. Ooh. They really don't. Ethiopian Airlines has had a pilot who landed the wrong airport in Zambia. Apparently, a cargo plane, thankfully not passenger plane, but a cargo plane flying into Zambia accidentally landed at an airport that is still under construction. Oy, oy, oy.
Ooh.
They hit a
bumpy ride.
They hit the tarmac on Sunday at the uncompleted airport in Zambia's northern Copperbelt province, which is currently served by the Simon Mwanasa International Airport. That's around 15 kilometers away. So they're really close together. The Transport Ministry's permanent secretary said the pilot landed at the wrong airport. When he was about to land, he was communicating with radar, and they told him, "We can't see you." So he used his sight and had no control and landed at an airport still under construction. No damage resulted. Investigators will issue a comprehensive report on the incident. The pilot later flew the plane to its proper destination, and Ethiopian Airlines was not immediately available for comment. But that's pretty embarrassing. I mean, you know, I mean, it is only 15. Remember, 15 kilometers from up there is not a very big distance. So
it's not much.
These airports
but also must be very close. He must have looked down and thought, where are all the other planes?
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah. Well, apparently...
Looks a bit quiet today.
So it turns out what do they call it? The runway was complete, but the buildings were not. So it's an easy mistake to make. And it sounds like these two are so close together that, you know, this one that they're building might take over from the other one. Sort of like what happened in Durban, where we had an old airport in Amanzimtoti, and then we built a new one up on the north coast. So maybe that's what's been going on, but they were really close together. Still, embarrassing stuff.
I haven't thought about that one in a while. I wonder what happens there.
Apparently, they use it as a storage facility for fuel, and they have cars, like cars that are for sale. It's like a car warehouse, essentially.
Oh,
but I haven't been past that airport in ages, and I remember used to love that airport. It was so easy in and out, and I've got to say, still, the King Shaka Airport's an absolute pleasure compared to Cape Town's the worst. You have to go through that big parking, and you have to walk for miles to get anywhere in the new Cape Town Airport. It's definitely the least user-friendly airport in South Africa, and we don't need to say more than that. I know people in Cape Town are going to be, "Oh, it's great. We love our airport." It's really not. It's shit. Deal with it.
Well, Cape Town Airport still just is odd to me for having the loos in one of their lounges, the airport lounges, that faces the tarmac.
Yeah, I like that.
And is just from floor to ceiling, complete glass. No, it has confused me since the beginning of my time. Let me not say the beginning of time.
Yeah.
Who thought that was a great idea? Why they thought it was a great idea?
I love that loo. It's called loo with a view or something.
Yes, that's right.
What?
I know, I
like that.
That one's in the slow lounge. That's where it is.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Sia can't handle it. Well, Sia, then don't use the loo. Or you can go and use the one in the building. There are no windows.
Not.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. In Nigeria, more than 1,800 inmates have escaped after heavily armed men attacked a prison in southwest Nigeria using explosives. The attackers blasted their way into the Owerri prison in Imo State, engaging guards in a gun battle. And apparently the National Corrections Authority said that in a statement. I can confirm that the Imo State Command of the Nigerian Correctional Service was attacked by an unknown gunman and his friends. Imo State Corrections spokesperson said, adding the number of escaped inmates was yet to be confirmed. They blew up and opened up a prison for the prisoners to escape. So there we go.
Sure. They're not going to find all of those people.
Hell no.
They are absolutely not going to.
But imagine you're a prisoner and you don't know what's going on, and you get blown up instead of freed.
Oh, shame.
Imagine
the sight, though, seeing this from afar. A horde of people, 1,800 plus people just running.
All prisoners.
All dressed the same,
And imagine if you're in your cell and your cell's the one that they break into and you don't know what the hell's going on. You're like, oh, Jesus, what's
happening? Well, you won't ask any questions. You're just seeing a cat run.
Yeah, you just run.
Imagine out of 1,800 people, you are the one who was left behind. So they've blown up and you can see everyone in the D block escaping. And you're like, damn it. Couldn't I have been there as well?
Yeah.
I'd be so annoyed.
By the way, we do still use our 0797482090 if you want to message us on there. Or you can message us directly on YouTube, whichever you prefer. Dr. Robin says, a challenge for me, staying away from pregnant women.
All right. Yeah. Don't think she can, like, stay away from work.
No, she can't stay away. She's an obstetrician and gynecologist, so she has to deal with pregnant women all the time. Sorry, Dr. Robin, if you can get that right, I'll be impressed. The last story in the news, Harvey Weinstein, he's still alive. He filed a long-expected appeal on his rape and sexual assault convictions on Monday, kickstarting an attempt to have his 23-year prison sentence quashed. I don't know why it's taken so long, but lawyers for Weinstein found guilty last year. It's only been a year that he's been in guilty of this landmark verdict, the Me Too movement. Apparently, he said in a court filing that the Pulp Fiction producer was denied a fair trial, his lawyer. They argue that several women who had accused Weinstein, but whose allegations were not included in the charges, should not have been allowed to testify as so-called prior bad acts witnesses. The American criminal justice system was designed to convict defendants based on their conduct, not on their general character, the attorneys wrote. Well, if they really judged him on his general character, the guy'd never get out of jail. So, apparently this is what they're going to do now. They're going to argue that the impartiality of the jury was compromised by a juror who had written a book about older men preying on younger women. The film producer's defense team had tried unsuccessfully to have her dismissed ahead of the trial, but now they're going to go down some other avenues. I suppose he's still got quite a lot of money. So, you know, the way he sees it, like, let's use up as much of that money to get me out of jail as possible. I mean, you'd do the same if you were him.
And I'm not surprised. I think they're just putting up a fight for the sake of putting up a fight.
He's such a gross guy, though. I mean, like, every time I see pictures of Harvey Weinstein, I'm like, ugh. He just give you the creeps.
Is Pulp Fiction the one with, I think he said Sharon Osbourne, Sharon Stone, where she does the...
No, you think that's Basic Instinct.
Pulp Fiction
is Samuel L. Jackson, John Travolta, Harvey Keitel. Yeah.
Uma Thurman.
Such a good movie. Oh, it's great. Quentin Tarantino.
Never watched it.
Oh, it's his movie. Such a good movie. I still love that. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration? That's probably
bad reference is lost on me.
No, you got to watch the movie again, Sia. You obviously are out of touch.
Oh, no, then you have to, yeah.
Very embarrassing. All right. Funniest thing happened while I was away. We've got a family WhatsApp group like everybody has, I suppose. And my mom posted a picture of this bird that landed on her bed. She drove in. Yeah. Look at this. You're not going to believe this. And I'd love to know from people who are, you know, people who believe in the symbolism of things, you know, who think that everything has got some universal meaning. Look at this quickly. This is the bird. It's a sparrow hawk. Do you see that?
Just sitting on
her bed. Oh, wow.
It's like a juvenile bird of prey, and it landed on my mother's bed, and it had a dove in its talons, and then it dropped the dove outside, and it flew in through the gate and landed on the bed, which is pretty extraordinary. I mean, you know, I told you just a week and a half ago, we had like some kind of honey buzzard or whatever it is, which is also a bird of prey, on the road out of our estate. And I thought, all these birds of prey are like suddenly coming into my life. I wonder what this means. Very strange.
Apparently you need to go and consult a sangoma about this.
I do. I need to talk to my, I need to talk to my Matlozi and I need to twasa. This might be...
That
these
sounds
might,
very dangerous.
Maybe these are signs that I need to become a Sangoma.
I've said it before, you and the sneezing.
The sneezing.
So I wouldn't put it past you.
Well, it's funny.
You know, it's
my sister-in-law. Uh-huh. My sister-in-law's domestic worker is becoming a Sangoma.
Wow. Okay. Now, that's quite a process.
Yeah. And my sister-in-law is so excited. She's like, oh, I can't wait for Connie to become a Sangoma. Then she can also protect us. I'm like, okay. She's going to be like going around the house looking for like bad muti and that kind of thing. And, you know, getting rid of all the bad energy. Because she will. And she'll be burning shit and it'll, you know.
Oh, my Lord.
Throwing bones. And it's going to be hilarious. I'm going to go and visit there often just to have stories for the show.
See what she's up to now.
Oh, yeah.
It's only now as an adult and also comparing your childhood to others that you realize some things were really and truly odd. For us, it was quite common with our helper who really believes in a lot of like omens and signs and things.
Yeah.
She's still to this day freaked out about bats or over bats. Just she doesn't want to see bats. That's just not her thing.
Yeah.
And then owls to her are a complete bad sign. So especially if an owl will be around on our property, on the roof, she just feels like, oh yeah, now here we go. Someone's about to die. So often we would be woken up in the middle of the night. She goes, there's an owl. We now need to pray. It's like, sorry, ma'am. It's like midnight. She goes, no, it's time to pray.
I actually... When I was growing up as well, there was a thing about owls, like it was coming to watch over you for your last few days or something like that.
Ugh. Yeah, no, the owls have a pretty bad reputation in some cultures, and people don't all like them, you know. They as a result, they sometimes kill them, which is obviously very sad. But to see all these birds of prey,
Jim, what if the thing was just needed to rest?
Well, it seemed like it was quite young and it was a little disorientated. But eventually, it flew out through one of the windows. So you know, everybody was relieved about that. But it's quite something to find a bird like that on your bed. I mean, you don't see them that often. You know, when you do see them, you see them at a distance. They don't come close to people like pigeons and doves do.
Yeah. That's incredible. Jeez.
Andre has a story here, which I thought about. He says, have you heard of the Limpopo pastor who performs miracles by sitting on his parishioners' faces while the Holy Spirit rides his flatulence? He wears leggings.
Yes.
Now, I saw this story. Yes. For some reason, I thought this was an April Fool's story, but is it true, Leanne? You seem to know quite a lot about the farting pastor.
I only know from what was passed on to me via WhatsApp. I mean, I haven't researched it, but yes, I'm sure you saw it as well, where there are actually pictures of him squatting onto his, you know, congregants' faces.
You have.
I don't know if it's an April.
Yeah, you have to be really deprived of the presence of the Holy Spirit to let someone sit on your face and fart in your... Remember my song that we used to sing in the mornings?
Yes, I do.
Sit on my face and tell me that you love me. I'll sit on your face and then I'll love be truly. Life can be fine if we both 69, if you sit on your faces in all sorts of places and then till we're blown away. But this is revolting because he'd fart in their faces as well. It's not, it wasn't sexual. Oh. He'd just fart all over them.
It's a Limpopo pastor. That's yep. what course, I remember.
All the crack.
Okay, found some details about
the,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
All the crackhead, nutcase, lunatic, crazy pastors come from Limpopo. All of them.
Mm.
So this is happening in Giani in Limpopo.
Mm.
And
isn't that where Mum Jane is from? Jane Malachi.
She's from Zanin.
It's right near there, I'm telling you. Jane probably knows this. This guy's probably like a family friend of Jane's. If we ask her about him at the office today, bet you she'll know who he is.
So he calls himself, this is first name and surname, Christ Penelope.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Penelope. I mean, Christ.
Well, Christ.
Christ is funny, but Christ Penelope, that's great. What a name.
Penelope.
He is the founder of the Sevenfold Holy Spirit Ministries.
Yeah.
And he claims that these farts help his skin heal. Through this process, all spiritual and physical problems are cured. The pastor has addressed the controversy and spoke to Drum magazine about his unconventional healing methods, saying that it is a demonstration of God's power. He further claims that in order to provide these people who are in need of a miracle with the healing they need, he is only following a divine example that involves putting them into a deep sleep. Okay. So his direct words are, he says, it started with Master Jesus when he stepped on Peter. It is the demonstration of God's power. Just like God made Adam go into a deep sleep, it is a similar thing. God did anything with the body of Adam while he was on the ground in deep sleep. He was not feeling anything. Okay.
So these people are probably, you know, because you fake things when you're in church and you're pretending to be hit by the power of God. So they obviously have to pretend that they've passed out completely. But I'd be heaving in my face.
Oh, oh my God, can you imagine how awful?
What is it called when someone farts underneath a blanket?
A Dutch oven.
Dutch I'm just oven. Thinking about that. Have you ever, you've been in that situation, maybe it's you or someone has farted near you and already just that lifting up the blankets, like, it's a lot. Now imagine someone directly fart. Oh no.
So great. So it's just awesome that we live in a world where people like this can make money and they can convince other people this is great. I love it.
Christ Penelope.
But also, how many farts do you have to have on board to get through a sermon, you know?
Yeah, how does he get ready for the sermon?
Our super fan and friend Fundo says, you should wonder what he eats before his services. It could get really ugly.
Mm-hmm.
That's absolutely right. Mm-hmm. Oy, oy, oy. What if he's got the runs? There's a chance it could go horribly wrong. I'm telling you.
I am giving what is called Sevenfold Ministries. Sevenfold Holy Spirit Ministries are passed. Thank you very much.
Christ Penelope. I'm not going to call him Penelope. I like Penelope much more than Penelope. And I mean, he also has to have a fart.
The gall
he has
and to have the audacity to call himself Christ.
Yeah, but he has to have one in the chamber. This is what you can't just fart on command. You have to have one. So what if he has to service, in inverted commas, like 10 people in a row and he runs out of fart?
Yeah, I mean, for that alone, I think he should be praised. That's quite a talent, really.
Mm.
Christ Penelope.
Penelope. Eleutheria says you could get pink eye if you get a wet fart in the face. Oh, you could get a lot worse than that. See? I can promise you. You can get some serious, serious health issues as a result of that. You got to be careful, man.
Bulhagia.
Can you imagine? Oh.
It's only a matter of time before he shots on someone, honestly.
Oh. But who goes to this church? Like, who is so bereft of spiritual guidance and spiritual kindness and spiritual care that they go to this guy? This is the guy? I mean, what, are the others too far away? Where do you go?
How do you break that news to the congregation that that is what you're going to be doing?
Well,
this might seem a little unorthodox, but
you have to admire his confidence. He's like, well, these people are all so gullible and so stupid. They're just going to go with whatever I propose, even if it's farting. Maybe it's a bet that he took with another pastor. He's like, you know, my congregation's way stupider than yours. The other one went, nah, they're not. No, mine are pretty stupid. He goes, all right, look, I'll make a deal with you. I will tell my people in my congregation, I'll tell them I'm going to fart in their faces. And if they all agree that that's the new blessing, you have to give me 10,000 rand. And the other pastor's like, sure, deal. No problem. Go for it. Let's see how stupid your congregation are. Then he goes off and does this. And meanwhile, the joke's on everyone else because we're taking it seriously. And he's scoring like a nice bet off his friend.
I mean, it is going up a level because it went from, eating grass, mm-hmm. and people believed that it tasted delicious, like macaroni
pasta.
That's
right. That's right.
And then spraying doom directly into your face,
which is so
dangerous.
And then
farting in your face.
Of course. Yeah.
So I'm torn between, you know what? Clearly, some people are beyond silly. So go ahead and do this. And also going, it is such a shame to think that there are people who are truly so desperate for deliverance, blessings, light in their life, that they'll let someone do this. Sure. What are you going through
people,
to let someone do this?
People, I'm going to sound like a Gen Z here, but people are going through the most in the last couple of months. And, and they will be prepared to take whatever magic men and women say they can. And, you know, if you think there's a miracle hidden in that fart, then you'll do it, dude. Mpihleng says we've got to send Jane Malachi to go and investigate for us and test the methods. She needs healing on the side of learning on how to calm down. And that's true. By the way, we've got a new insult from Jane Malachi this week, which you're going to love. It's for Sia. She does not hold back. Sia's turn to be abused by Jane. And Leanne, this is also something you usually miss out on because you're on Mondays and Fridays.
I bore witness last Tuesday.
She's horrible. I mean, Jane is just absolutely merciless. So we may get to that in the next hour. Stick around.
I don't know how I should be looking forward to this.
No, you are. I can tell you are because you haven't heard it yet. I've got it ready to go, Sia. It's going to upset you, but it's going to be worth every second. All right, that's coming up next. So lots of stuff to get to still. CliffCentral.com. It is a Tuesday morning. It's the 6th of April. It's 7 o'clock. CliffCentral.com.